Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the show. Getting you ready for the weekend. Not really getting you ready for football. Yeah, I decided August 1st will be the day that I officially get very excited about football. Not yet, though.
That's pathetic.
Why?
Yep.
Why?
What a way to start the podcast. All we do year-round is talk about fantasy football. Dude, on April 3rd, I'm excited about football.
No, you're not. You're just lying.
On February 25th, I'm excited about football.
It's not possible.
This is the time of year where I want to rip off my shirt and run around the office screaming, football is back, bitches!
August 1st. You could do that, Dave. August 1st.
Nope.
Tuesday.
I could have done it yesterday. Okay. We had our draft preview show, our first one of the year yesterday. It was fun. Heath made a declaration that he will eat actual crow if Melvin Gordon finishes as a top 24 fantasy running back.
Top four running back. Top four running back. I did agree to eat actual crow.
Can you do that? Is that a thing?
I thought you said top 34.
Well, there was a radio station in South Florida that just had this happen this year where one of the hosts made a similar bet with Christian Yelich that if he would hit 20 home runs, he would eat crow. And he hit 20 home runs last year. So he actually ate crow on the air.
Oh, okay.
Keith will take a bite out of Isaiah Crowell's bicep.
Let's go, Melvin Gordon. Looking forward to that. I wanted to ask you which fantasy players you're getting more excited about. We're going to play some fill in the blank and read your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I would say about halfway through the show, we'll get maybe 20 minutes. I don't know. We'll get to the news and notes. News item on Martavis Bryant, on Eddie Lacy. Carlos Hyde looks tremendous. Some news on Christian McCaffrey and his role. Philip Rivers making a crazy decision. Oh, we're going to talk about combos, not the gross candy, or not snack, but which combos you would rather have. And we have not addressed the worst tweet of Heath's tweeting career, but we will get to that later today. So, yeah. If you want controversy, at Heath Cummings Sr., at Heath Cummings SR, at Dave Richard, singular, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y, and I am at Adam Azer, and this is Fantasy Football Today. Let's get started. This section is I'm getting more excited about ... I actually have a name if you'd like me to start because I'm sort of putting you on the spot. But if you'd like to start, let me know.
I would like for you to start.
Everybody wants me to start?
Go ahead. Well, you already said you're getting more excited about football.
Yeah, August 1st. But even before August 1st, I'm getting more excited about Sammy Watkins. And as long as he's healthy, I don't know why he wouldn't be he wouldn't be the number 10 wide receiver behind that big group of nine. I love me some Sammy Watkins. I'm getting more excited about Sammy Watkins.
Totally agree. And we have a friend of the show, another fantasy analyst, Adam Pfeiffer, who was at Bills camp yesterday. And he was tweeting, as he often does, but he was tweeting about what he saw there. And he said, Sammy looks great. So it's always encouraging to hear positive reports. And somebody, I told Adam, I said, nice job on what he was, I guess, essentially reporting. And somebody said, wow, Sammy Watkins healthy at training camp. That's a first. Well, it actually is. He doesn't really show up in practice very often this time of year because he's dealing with a hip injury or foot injury or calf injury or whatever injury. The fact that he's ready to go from the start of camp, I totally agree with you, Adam. It's very hard not to get excited about Sammy Watkins, who came out yesterday and said he's banking on himself. He doesn't want anybody to give him a contract. He wants to go out and earn it.
Are you excited enough to start thinking about taking him in round two? Because that's I think everybody's okay with taking Sammy Watkins in round three.
At the turn.
So before you get to like 23rd overall, you're saying you're okay with Sammy Watkins.
I like him there at the turn. And you didn't have to explain Adam Pfeiffer to Adam Azer at all because they are long-time chair people of the CJ Spiller fan club.
We're both named Adam.
Another Adam that loved CJ Spiller.
I would take Gronk over Watkins, but then after that, it's like Amari Cooper. I think it's safer to take Cooper. So that's probably 10, right? 10 wide receivers. But then you got Demaryius Thomas, you got Doug Baldwin, all these guys. And I'm thinking like a month ago, I'm not sure. I personally did not consider Watkins there, but now I do. And it sounds like Sounds like Jamie does. Sounds like Heath does. Dave, I'm not sure if you answered the question you posed late round two around the
turn. No, I'm not there yet.
I could go late round two, but I couldn't get Watkins above 12th at receiver. 12 would be as high as I would go. I think I have him 14 right now. I could understand putting him 12.
I am 13, and if I really want to, I'll put him 11.
If you really want.
That's ahead of Baldwin?
Ahead of Baldwin. Like, yeah. Right now I have Thomas 9, Cooper 10, and I agree with you, Adam. Cooper is, at least as of now, safer. I would put him 11. And as a matter of fact, I'll do it right now.
Oh, wow. Cool. All right.
There it is. Sammy Watkins, a top 12 receiver.
I'm moving him up to 12.
Ooh, all right.
I'm making him number one, baby.
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay, so anybody else getting excited about anybody? And you know what? We have plenty of content. You don't force it. But if you're feeling it, jump in there and tell me who you're pumped about.
All right, I'll go next.
Yay.
I'm getting excited about John Brown. He's healthy. He was an exciting player before he had the sickle cell issue and the cyst on his spine. God, that sounds gross. And now he roomed with Carson Palmer during the offseason. Every day there's great stories about him doing something at practice. And this is an exciting offense in Arizona. They need a guy who can take the top off at defense. And he can do that. He can do other things as well. I like him, and I can get him still in round seven.
I don't think it's going to work anymore.
Yeah.
You think he's going to start going higher?
I think round six.
I think if he starts showing up in the preseason, like, this is what's going to happen to Sammy Watkins too. They're going to have a big play in the preseason. The whole world will see it, and their value is way up.
Doesn't even matter. That's already there.
Where did he go in our draft yesterday?
I don't know.
I'll look it up.
It's funny. I was looking back in a magazine draft I did about 6 weeks ago, and Adam was giving. I think Adam happened to be online with me while I was doing the draft, and I sent him the results as they were happening. And he was like, "Oh, I don't like your receiver corps. It's three receiver league." And so my first receiver was Julio Jones, and then I took three running backs afterwards in Jordan Howard, Todd Gurley, and Isaiah Crowell. That was 2, 3, 4, and then I just started taking receivers. And so the rest of my receiving corps is Moncrief, Corey Davis. This is before Eric Decker. Moncrief, Corey Davis, John Brown, Jeremy Maclin. Mm. And I went back and looked at it last night, and I was like, my God, I love this team.
What team was Maclin on at that point?
Huh?
What team was Maclin on at that point?
Baltimore. He had just
signed. Baltimore? Okay. Late round six yesterday for John Brown. And which receivers did he go around? Larry Fitzgerald, then John Brown, back-to-back. This was half PPR. And then there was a little bit of a break, and then Corey Davis went. I probably would have taken John Brown. I took Corey Davis as the next receiver. I got killed by Jamie for that pick. Brandon Marshall.
Well, explain yourself, though.
Yeah, it may have been a reach.
You forgot something.
Yeah, so I'm not proud of this. I was doing a lot of stuff at the time of the draft, and I'm looking at Corey Davis. I'm looking at all three of your rankings, which is a very cool feature in the draft room. You can toggle between Dave, Jamie, Heath's rankings. Or projections, not from those three, but our you know, website projections, whatever you feel comfortable with. And Corey Davis was really low, and I just didn't really get it. I took him, and then I was like, oh, crap, I forgot about Eric Decker. So that's a big thing. But honestly, like, I feel like Corey Davis could easily be better than Eric Decker and have a really good rookie season, mid-round seven. I feel like you guys are too low on Corey Davis, but I probably reach for him.
I just wrote this morning, and it's not up yet, but it will be, about my expectations for the Titans offense. And I feel like I'm too low on the Titans wide receivers because we love Marcus Mariota. But the problem is, like, there's just not enough targets to go around for all those guys. They threw the ball to their wide receivers last year 296 times, 257 the year before that.
But they have much better wide receivers now.
They do. But I don't expect, like, I bumped it up to 315, 320. Mm-hmm. You're still not seeing, I don't believe, any of those three guys get 100 targets this year.
Oh, wow. You don't.
Not get 100 targets?
I think they're all going to be around the 90 to 100 range.
Fifth or sixth pick in the draft, I remember. Fifth or sixth. Like, you don't take a guy there and give him 90 targets. Corey Davis.
They only throw the ball 500 times.
Who is this?
Corey Davis?
I'll check. He might not be.
I don't know if he signed.
He'll sign. He'll be fine. Okay. Anybody else want to volunteer someone they're excited about?
Yeah, he hasn't signed yet.
No?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm starting to get excited about Ty Montgomery.
Okay.
Not a bad one.
He's everything so far coming out of camp is glowing about him. He's the extra weight looks good on him, apparently. He spent the offseason working with the footwork king, who is apparently a thing.
Mm-hmm. No,
a big thing.
Dude in Houston.
Yeah.
Works with a bunch of players.
Yeah. To transition from wide receiver to running back. Mike McCarthy's talking a lot about him. He's Jamal Williams might at some point become the guy, but it's still a fourth round pick that has to go take the job. They're not just going to give anything to Williams. I expect Montgomery to be their feature running back.
Cool. And Jamie, anyone for you?
CJ Anderson.
Really?
Yeah. I think with the Devontae Booker injury, that's just another guy that's out of his way. Jamal Charles doesn't really make me nervous. If he's healthy, I think he's going to have a big year. I like the offensive line additions. I think that the quarterback play will be better. He's saying the offense reminds him very much to what they did in 2013-2014. So could be good year all around in Denver. But I think CJ Anderson is I took him in that draft yesterday, and getting more excited about him by the day.
CJ Anderson, John Brown, Sammy Watkins, and Ty Montgomery. And there you go. Time for a little fill in the blank. I asked you for some fill in the blank on Twitter. You responded.
By the way, I'm sorry, with John Brown. I was texting with Pete Prisco last night, who's out in Arizona. And he said David Johnson told him that John Brown looks like he did 2 years ago.
And 2 years ago, he was the number 20 wide receiver in standard, number 22 in PPR, and could definitely, you know, certainly could take a leap. So let's
definitely,
go, John Brown.
Certainly.
Definitely, certainly can take a leap. I didn't want to oversell it. Fill in the blank.
You oversell a Cardinals receiver?
No.
He's going to be the best receiver on the Vikings. Michael Floyd.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I don't believe it for 1 second. So, Scott Barnes, blank will be the biggest second round bust.
Sammy Watkins.
I got two. And they're guys I'm not ending up with in any of my drafts, partially because I'm drafting with Jamie, and Jamie loves Jay Ajayi, but a little nervous about Jay Ajayi, more than a little nervous about Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Those are two guys that could bust.
He's not really a second-round guy, though, anymore.
Ajayi?
Gurley.
He's what, third round?
Third round.
Yeah.
According to the ADP information.
His current ADP is 20.8.
Oh, okay.
Is that
good.
Round two?
Yep.
Yes.
That is round two. I think those are fine. Like, any running back is a fine answer there. But if I had to pick a receiver out of the round two guys currently, I'd probably go with Dez.
I'll give a third running back if I could.
DeMarco.
I'd probably go with Dez.
Where's DeMarco? That's always our answer.
That. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. DeMarco is another running back that could be a little bustacular. But Dez, really?
Yeah, I don't expect a huge volume there. There's certainly a ton of injury risk there. And he's always been amazing in the red zone. I expect that will continue, but he is going to be touchdown dependent because I don't think he gets I don't think they throw the ball enough for him to be a consistent, like a 1200, 1300 yard type guy.
And we've already documented a brutal schedule, especially the first 4 weeks for Dez Bryant.
Hilton, if luck is not right.
That's a good one.
And the obvious one for me, just because of where he's going right now, is Marshawn Lynch at 24.
Oh, yeah.
Another running back. Are we starting to get to the point where we're going to start saying, don't draft a running back in round two, unless it's Melvin Gordon, Jordan Howard?
The difference for me, though, with Howard, Ajayi, even Gurley, is those guys have risk, and I do see the bust potential. But I also think all three of those guys could be the number four running back in fantasy.
Workload is the biggest thing.
Well,
we're all going to get a heavy workload.
You know, we're talking about busts, second round busts, and we did a 10 team. Wait, what did we do yesterday? A 12 team draft or 10 team draft?
12 team, half point PPR.
And this was the one that Darce was in, or was that two? Was
mm-hmm.
that,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he had the 10th pick, I think, and Darce is a guy who works with us, big fantasy football fan, and he's, you know, talking about all the guys he could pick. Oh, Melvin Gordon, he's risky. LeSean McCoy, he's old. And it's like, gosh, with running backs especially, there are so many negatives, it seems. I've been guilty of just being way too negative about a lot of running backs and kind of missing the boat. I'm trying not to be that. I'm trying to just...
Oh, but Adam, now with the Le'Veon Bell, what Ian Rappaport tweeted yesterday, that it could be several weeks of his holdout. I think outside of David Johnson, you can nitpick all these guys.
Of course you can. That's the point. It's like, but why do it? You know, if you can nitpick all of them, does that mean we should probably like not nitpick so much? They all have their flaws, is what I'm saying.
Well, there's a nitpick.
They're humans.
Nitpick.
We all have flaws.
Nitpick.
How big is the nitpick?
I guess some are bigger than others. Yeah, like I don't really think Melvin Gordon's that risky.
Well, I mean, he hasn't been able to finish each of the last 2 years.
Oh man, they're all risky. All right, they're running back. Steve Close. My favorite double-digit round dart throw is blank.
Double-digit round dart throw.
Joe Williams.
I've taken him before the double digits.
I keep taking Taylor Gabriel.
We could go back to John Brown, but that's not really a dart throw.
Jack Doyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Heath is easy. Mike Wallace for you.
Yeah.
Or Eric Ebron. By the way, I was so mad at you yesterday, Adam.
For taking Ebron.
Yeah, you and Coca ruined me in that draft.
I feel like dart throw should be somebody that's like more of the Joe Williams type.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I'm just looking at ADP. Jamal Williams, he's probably not a double digit round guy.
Right.
Nunn was borderline. Terrence West, not anymore. Jacquizz Rogers.
He won double digits yesterday.
Yeah, there's a good one for you, Dave. Rashad Perryman's 160.
Mm-hmm. I'll say Quincy Anunua.
Perryman's one of my guys. I like him as a dart throw. Carson Palmer is another one.
Here's one. Jonathan Williams.
Jalen Richard.
Yep.
Okay.
JJ Nelson. Adam's favorite player of all time.
I'm not sure we understand the meaning of favorite.
Witten. We have 50 favorite dart throws. Cool. Next one is from Herbs. Out of Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Todd Gurley. Allen Robinson, Hopkins, and Gurley. Blank has the biggest bounce back year in 2017.
Gurley.
I'll go Hopkins.
Dave?
I think Gurley has the most to gain because he was so crappy last year.
They all were bad.
He ranked higher at running back than those guys did at receiver, though, right?
Yeah.
There are more receivers than running backs. They all were terrible.
I'll be consistent with my bus pick, and I'll say Nuke, who I think is my number 10 receiver.
Okay. So this is from VJ. Blank will finish in the top 12 among running backs despite being drafted outside the top 24. Blank will finish in the top 12 among running backs despite being drafted outside the top 24.
Crowell.
I think he means outside the top 24 running backs.
Oh, I thought he meant outside the top 24 picks.
No.
So a running back that we have ranked outside of the top 24 that's going to finish in the top 24?
Nope. Yeah, who's got the best chance?
Top 12, rather.
Yes.
Who's got the best chance?
Based on ADP, I would say Paul Perkins.
Yep.
Based on ranking, I'll say Jamal Williams or Kareem Hunt.
I like Jamie's pick of Perkins.
Derrick Henry.
Ooh. You know what a good one is? Mike Gillisley.
He's not a top 24.
Oh, if it's based on ADP, then of course it's Gillisley.
Yep.
Wow. All righty.
Gillisley, Perkins, Abdullah, Dalvin Cook. These guys are all outside the top 24.
Jimmy Lacy. Jimmy S. says, at the end of the year, Josh Doxson will be regarded as a blank receiver. Josh Doxson, a blank receiver. Wide
receiver.
Redskins.
Number three.
Yeah, number three.
Josh Doxson, number three. Here's Nate. Blank is an overrated defense. Ooh, interesting.
Ravens.
Cardinals.
Oh, they're going to be good.
I'll say Chiefs.
Really?
Chiefs are good too.
I think a lot of people are counting on the Chiefs having that great special team success again this year.
Hi.
And they might.
Yeah, I moved them down. They were number one for me for most of the offseason. I moved them down.
They're the number two defense in terms of ADP right now. I still think they should be like
top five.
Top five or six, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't take them ahead of Seattle. Or Houston.
It's the DS. It's the special teams that sets them apart.
Yep, it is.
And you're taking Tyreek Hill off of one of his return games.
Are they?
Yeah, he's not going to be on kick returns anymore.
So, what about the Broncos without Wade Phillips?
They have Vance Joseph.
And DeMarcus Ware.
I kind of understand where you're coming from, Adam, because I do feel like they're getting old.
I mean, their secondary is still
secondary
so
and pass rushes.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
really
Shane
Ray's.
Gonna
I don't
be,
think that pass rush is getting old at all.
Shane Ray's going to be a big,
yep,
breakout pass rusher this year.
And Wade Phillips is going to make the Rams take him to another level. He has such a great track record. All right, thank you for the tweet, Nate. This is from Jeremy. The CBS Fantasy Pod guys would play blank position if forced into an NFL preseason game. I play safety and just
the
get
position
far
we'd
away.
Want to play, or the position that
they would
we're
put
best
us
suited for based on our bodies.
Yeah, probably that. I'd play safety just to be like as far away from the action as possible.
I'd punt.
Oh,
that's
that.
A good one, yeah. Punter.
I'll be a tight end.
I'm terrible at punting. I would probably
kick. I'd punt or kick.
Nickel corner.
I'd be the first tight end in NFL history to run the 40 in 10 flat.
I actually would be the punter. I'm sorry, Jamie. I forgot I was a backup goalie in college or high school, not college.
I'm going to play nickel corner and just cover Dave at tight end.
That'll be fun.
Thank you for the question.
He's going to kill me on the run plays.
All right, this is from JJ. It's a live draft, and your walk up to the board theme music is blank.
It's all right. It's Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, there you go. I love it.
By the way, Sketcher Doodle was awesome yesterday.
Sketcher Doodle. Did you see that? Adam had to have seen it.
Tweet. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Is that the best one yet? It was amazing. All of us as Saved by the Bell cast members. Amazing.
I'd probably go with Cena's music.
It's like
the best walk up music.
Oh, John Cena?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are the world.
Wonderful.
I'll take You've Got the Touch. And a few more goofy ones. This is from Mike. Blank is my favorite thing about Adam.
His outros.
His wife.
Oh, thank you. I accept. Dave?
His dedication to the podcast.
Yeah, accept that too. Finally, Ben Anderson Smith says, blank Adam Azer for jinxing the Vikings last year. All right, we're moving on. News and notes. News and notes for you here on this Friday. Le'Veon Bell did not show up for the start of training camp. That is not a surprise. What should we do? Like the newsometer? It's kind of the does this matter. How does that rank on the newsometer? 0 to 10. Le'Veon Bell not a camp.
It doesn't mean anything now, but if he doesn't show up at all, there's a pretty lengthy track record of how running backs perform when they don't participate in training camp, and it is not very good.
Any holdouts for the most part.
Yeah.
I had him number two. I'm leaving him number two.
Adam number one. I moved him to two.
I'm keeping him at one. If August 20th comes and he's not there, I'm going to drop.
Le'Veon Bell. Martavis Bryant is not allowed to play in preseason games until he is fully reinstated. Hopefully that will happen soon. So Eddie Lacy may not be ready for training camp, Dave? Start of it?
Yeah, there's a report from, where is it from, Adam?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I know you sent
one
me
of the
link.
Papers in Seattle that said they expect him to play in the preseason and participate eventually, but he might not be ready day one. And that there's a legitimate competition between him and Thomas Rawls.
But that's everything in Seattle, though, outside of Russell Wilson, according to Pete Carroll.
Right, but this isn't according to Pete Carroll.
So then why does it matter?
because
everything,
I agree.
Does anything Pete Carroll says matter? Because,
well, because
he lies
makes his
all the
players
time.
Compete for their spots.
Well, sure.
That's how Russell Wilson became Russell Wilson.
Does he really? I mean,
he's
do you think that,
right,
do you think Doug
okay,
Baldwin's
so
competing?
If that's the case, then aren't we being a little too quick to anoint Eddie Lacy?
No,
while
that's what I'm saying. If,
it,
if it's coming from Pete Carroll, then it's great. If it's coming from somebody else, which you just alluded to, then.
No, I understand
Carroll
what they mean.
Sunshine and rainbows for everything. He always
he's going to make Eddie Lacy win that job.
Well, Rawls is another guy I took really late, like second to last round.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Well, Rawls should be drafted.
You
want to
talk
every,
about dart throws? That's
in every league.
One.
So should CJ Procise. There are some people that think CJ Procise is the best of the three. So I imagine it's going to be a fun competition. It should be one of the better competitions for a running back spot this offseason.
The worst case scenario is that all three stay healthy enough to take away work from each other, and it becomes a nightmare for fantasy owners. Like, who do you start each week? That type of thing. It's a pain in the butt.
Okay, next news item. San Francisco GM John Lynch says Carlos Hyde looks tremendous. Where is this on the newsometer?
100.
Did he send that quote straight to Baltimore and said, I'll give you this quote for a fourth round pick?
Carlos Hyde said that he has, at his lowest, Liest. That was a Freudian slip based on the news we just heard.
Yeah.
Lowest weight since high school, 228.
Well, all right. It's a good start.
So was all this done to motivate Hyde to get in shape, or is this quote all to try and sell Hyde for a draft pick?
I'll just say
I'll answer that question in September.
There's like three running backs that I'm certain are better than Carlos Hyde at football. So if for some reason this all works out and he stays healthy, he's a huge value.
Okay, Melvin Gordon and who else, Heath?
Melvin Gordon is not one of them.
Okay. By the way, if you were more on the Joe Williams team than the Carlos Hyde team, would you buy Joe, sell Hyde?
Nah.
All right. ESPN Panthers reporter David Newton says the Panthers are peppering Christian McCaffrey with short passes and with screens.
They're also lining him up all over the place. It's all that we thought he'd be when they drafted him. This is how you're supposed to use Christian McCaffrey. They'd be idiots if they put him in the backfield 20 times a game and run him between the tackles.
Yeah.
He's gonna be good.
So why don't you rank Hyde, Lacy, and McCaffrey?
I think I've got McCaffrey the highest, followed by Hyde, then Lacy.
McCaffrey, Hyde,
Lacy. Oh, man. Yeah, I've moved Lacy. Carlos Hyde so much in the last 2 weeks.
Did you move him on this news?
No, I didn't. But here's what I did. I regretted a little bit of my drop of him.
I'm behind Marshawn Lynch. I don't know if I love it.
Yeah, I would not. I had him ahead of McCaffrey and Lacy before like the last week and a half, and now he's behind both. If you told me all three played 16 games, I would say Carlos Hyde is the best.
Yes. Yes. Does it matter where he plays the 16 games?
No. He could play them on the moon. In fact, on the moon, he'd be harder.
Yeah, but
to
you said it yourself yesterday, though. What if he's a handcuff somewhere?
Yep.
Right.
A timeshare.
And that's almost certain to happen if he stays in San Fran. And it'll definitely happen if he goes to Baltimore.
Yeah, but he'll put Terrence West on the bench very easily.
Right, but it's Woodhead that he's going to lose time to. He's not catching three touchdown passes. That's what made him last year. He was good last year.
But Lacy
and
McCaffrey.
Throw in those three receiving touchdowns.
Lacy and McCaffrey are both in a timeshare, too. And to start the year, at least, McCaffrey's probably in the smaller end of a timeshare.
So is Marshawn Lynch.
Well, then, let's move on to Tyler Eifert. Tyler Eifert has been 100% for a couple of months. That's according to a tweet from Paul Denner Jr., Bengals beat writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer. Tyler Eifert, 100% for a couple months. Is he top eight for you guys at tight end?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
All righty. Phillip Rivers, wow. Crazy guy, this Phillip Rivers, Dave. You're his biggest fan. He's going to commute from San Diego to Los Angeles.
What? By helicopter?
By car. He's going to have a driver. He's going to set up like a little football shop in the back of the car and watch film and all that stuff. But that is a lot. He has 10 kids. So, yeah, doesn't want to uproot them. But
I think he should go with the chopper.
Me too.
And then when he gets to the Chargers facility, he just drops a rope out of the helicopter and he slides down the rope with his playbook under his arm.
Yeah.
Wearing his pads.
Yeah.
How far do you think the commute from Los Angeles to San Diego is?
2 hours.
I wonder maybe if he like lives on the south side of Los Angeles or north side of San Diego. It's not that bad.
I'm going to LA next week. How cool is that?
Yeah?
Yeah. Baller. Now, what's something that you guys want that you know you have zero chance of getting? I would like a Maserati. Never
gonna happen. Time machine.
Powerball
ticket.
I pretty much have everything that I need.
That's good, because Odell Beckham Jr. wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL, and when I get my Maserati, maybe he will be. Dallas signed running back Ronnie Hillman. They insist it has nothing to do with Ezekiel Elliott. They just need some running back depth. Baltimore offensive lineman.
Although Jerry Jones did say that he expects the decision to happen soon.
Yes. Baltimore offensive lineman John Urschel abruptly retired at the age of 26, and he is a math wizard. He will do some great things. And Crockett Gilmore got hurt in practice today. Might have been a leg injury for Crockett Gilmore. So, Dave, that black cloud on Baltimore, huh?
Yeah, it's still there. By the way, the commute from San Diego to Costa Mesa High School, which is where I think they're practicing, is 1 hour and 24 minutes each way.
Oh, that's not bad.
And it's a scenic view. You get a nice view of the Pacific Ocean.
Traffic. Come on. It's L.A. A couple more news items. Cleveland quarterback DeShone Kizer making good progress. And Mike Williams will likely begin the season on the PUP list for the Clippers or the Chargers, whatever LAC means. But they are confident that Mike Williams can avoid surgery. So
I have a suggestion.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, we always talk with these acronyms on the baseball podcast. We have a debate over BABIP versus BABIP.
Yeah.
The PUP list is never a good thing.
The poop
Why don't we use the other U and just call it the poop list from now on?
I'm fine with that.
Why? When is the PUP? There's times when the PUP list is okay. They keep a player there so they can.
It's not good for us. Anytime somebody goes on the poop list, they're on the poop list. We can't draft them.
It's true.
You're not drafting Andrew Luck.
I am from this point forward referring to it as the poop list.
I'm fine with it. I accept. I approve the move. So you remember combos? Pretzels with that gross cheese filling?
Gross.
Those are great.
You liked combos?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think everyone does.
Arguably my least favorite childhood snack. Well, let's talk about some other combos. I give you a combo. You tell me which one you like. And Dave, I know you tweeted me all the combo flavors, Can you send it to me again so I can reference them?
I do everything for you. After I just got done complimenting how hard you work on the podcast.
It's true. Which combo would you rather have? Mike Evans and Jay Ajayi. Mike Evans and Jay Ajayi, or Melvin Gordon and Michael Thomas?
I'll send you the flavors, Adam. I'm not going to send you the link to the site.
Evans and Ajayi pretty easily.
Yes.
Dave,
I'm too busy working for you, Adam.
You might differ. Melvin Gordon and
Dave's
going
to take the second one because Melvin Gordon's going to be the number one running back in fantasy this year, or he's going to eat crow.
Melvin Gordon and Michael Thomas.
Wait, he's eating crow?
Mike Evans
not?
And Jay Ajayi.
It's just you're eating crow.
It's just me.
I'm not eating crow.
I'm trying to change
I'll
the
eat
pen.
A lot of stuff. Yeah, Gordon and Thomas works for me.
Why is it so easy, Evans and Ajayi?
I think there's a bigger difference between Mike Evans and Michael Thomas than there is between Jay Ajayi and Melvin Gordon. I'm not sure that there is really a difference between Ajayi and Gordon.
What's the scoring?
Half
What's
point.
What's the league scoring?
Half PPR.
You always do that. You always put half point PPR on there.
Yeah. You're still sticking...
Yeah, I'm sticking with Gordon and Thomas.
Okay.
Screw you guys.
Mike Evans and Jay Ajayi or Melvin Gordon and Leonard Fournette?
First one, it's easy.
What was the first one again?
Same thing, Evans and Ajayi or Melvin Gordon and Leonard Fournette.
Oh, the first one.
I'll say the first one is easier, or not easier, safer. Evans and Ajayi, just because you've got the wide receiver in there. And I almost feel like that's the best way to start your team this year is to get one of each to begin your draft.
All right, fine. So then let's do a guy that I think you might be higher on than the industry or than the public. I'm going to stick with Evans and Ajayi, very doable rounds 1 and 2 combo, or Melvin Gordon and Jordan Howard.
Evans and Ajayi.
Yeah, I still like that wide receiver running back combo.
I might be tempted to go with the running backs.
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to say the running backs because they're too good.
Do you like the cheddar cheese pretzel or the pizzeria pretzel combo?
Come on. Does one of them have the word pizza in it?
Yeah. Well,
but the combination of pizza and pretzel is a little foreign.
Right.
No,
we're
a pretzel
taking
is basically
really
pizza
good
crust.
Things and putting them together. I almost wish it wasn't a pretzel crust to go with the pizzeria.
What's
flavor.
The answer? Cheddar cheese pretzel or pizzeria pretzel?
I'm going to go with cheddar cheese, Adam.
Jamie, tiebreaker?
Cheddar cheese.
Cheddar wins. All right, next combo. This is a little... I don't love this one. I'm just going to I tried to make this one good, and I don't know if it is, but we're going to try anyway. You draft Le'Veon Bell in the first round. What is the better 2-3 turn? Le'Veon Bell with Gronkowski and DeAndre Hopkins, or Le'Veon Bell with Amari Cooper and Lamar Miller? Le'Veon Gronk Hopkins or Le'Veon Cooper Miller? Dave, you said the first one?
First one.
Yeah, I'll go first one too.
The first one.
The first one. Le'Veon Gronk and Hopkins. Are you okay with that start? You like that start?
Very much.
Yes.
All right. It's sexy. All right. What's a better combo? Aaron Rodgers and Golden Tate Or Russell Wilson and Demaryius Thomas.
This is your best one yet.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, these are the easy ones, the quarterback receiver stuff. So let me read it again. Sorry. Aaron Rodgers and Golden Tate, or Russell Wilson and Demaryius Thomas.
I would expect everybody's going to go Rodgers and Tate. I'd probably go Rodgers and Tate.
This is a round three and round five. In a standard
six
league.
Six in standard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I looked at ADP to match these
up.
Yeah,
I think Rodgers and Tate is the better deal based on where you're talking about drafting these guys. Which
I don't think it's really close.
Round three.
Well, yeah, I think it's close. That's why I expected you guys to, because I was leaning that way, and I like Wilson a lot more than you guys do.
Well, I like Wilson. I think we like Wilson. Right,
oh, you have him fifth now?
Yeah, he's top six for me. So I like Russell Wilson, but I think Golden Tate's not that far off from Demaryius Thomas.
Okay. So Rodgers and Tate over Wilson and Thomas. And how about sweet and salty vanilla frosting pretzel or seven-layer dip tortilla?
Seven layer.
Yeah. Seven layer.
Seven layer.
I want to try that one.
It sounds amazing.
Where can we find that?
Pretty interesting. I don't know. Combos.com, Dave. You can get them.
All right.
Those from Blue Apron?
No. Oh, man. Blue Apron has been so good this week. Anyway, Jordy Nelson and Dez Bryant or Jordan Howard and Devontae Freeman? You going to go running back or receiver? Jordy and Dez or Howard and Freeman?
What's the scoring?
Half point PPR.
I like Jordy and Freeman.
No, Heath,
if
not
it's
an
full
option.
Point PPR, I'll take the receivers. If it's a standard league, I'll go Howard and Freeman.
I took Jordy and Dez yesterday, so I'll take Jordy and Dez.
Ah, okay. Jordy and Dez over Howard and Freeman.
By the way, there's 7 grams of fat per serving in the seven-layer dip tortilla combos.
How much is a serving? How many pretzels?
About a third of a cup of combos. I don't know. How many are in a bag?
A third of a cup?
Very little.
That's what it says. 1 ounce. 1 ounce of combos.
That's a lot of fat. That's a lot of fat.
Yeah.
Not a good weight to fat ratio.
Okay, last one. Sweet and salty caramel creme or cream pretzel? How do we pronounce that? C-R-E-M-E with a little...
Cream.
Cream.
Yeah, but it's got a little thing over the E. Okay, cream. Sweet and salty.
Are combos fancy enough to have a little thing?
It does. Sweet and salty caramel cream pretzel or buffalo blue cheese?
Sweet and salty.
This is bad.
Buffalo blue cheese, like, no thanks. That would be losing a bet. I would eat that.
Yeah, this is probably the worst moment in podcasting.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with the sweet and salty caramel creme pretzel.
So we are going to read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, and we'll end the show with Heath's crazy tweet, since we've gotten a little crazy right now with the combos. So here's an email from Ripley. Dear Dak, Tyrell, JJ, and Jordan. They are Dak, Tyrell Williams, JJ Nelson, and Jordan Howard. I would love to hear some guys who you think could substantially improve their stock with an injury to a player in front of them on the depth chart. I know you don't like to forecast injuries, but would like to hear your thoughts. Who's one injury away from being Dak Prescott or Tyrell Williams or J.J. Nelson or Jordan Howard?
I mean, is any of the running backs that we talked about that could be busts? You know, Derrick Henry.
Yep.
James Conner.
Kareem Hunt.
But he could win the job outright, though.
He could, but an injury would help things out.
I still think Henry's the one that could jump into, like, first or second round value.
Marquise
if
Lee.
If Murray goes down.
Do you think if something happens to Allen Robinson, he...
That team's not going to be the same they have been.
I don't think they will either, but Doug Rhodey said it today.
But
the opportunity to pick up targets and move up the depth chart, I think, would be great for him. I think he could really have a monstrous year if that happens.
Okay. Zay Jones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zay Jones!
Sterling Shepard?
Yep. Okay. All right. Good. Got some names here. This is from Quinn in San Diego. 10-team keeper half PPR league. I have first choice of draft position in a 10-team half PPR league. I'm keeping Derek Carr and Davante Adams, maybe Terrence West. So here are my two options. He's keeping Carr and Davante Adams. I can draft first overall, get Le'Veon Bell, and either Sammy Watkins and Demaryius Thomas. That sounds pretty good. Or I can draft seventh overall and get Mike Evans and DeMarco Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, or Lamar Miller. So would you rather have Le'Veon and Watkins or Demaryius, or Mike Evans, DeMarco Murray or Hopkins or Lamar Miller?
The Le'Veon.
Yeah. I like Le'Veon.
You know what I would do, though? I would probably try and go with a receiver running back combination on the turn. Because he has Adams, which is essentially a borderline 1-2. And he's going to take Watkins. Or who was the other receiver you said?
Demaryius.
Hopkins? Oh, Demaryius. Whoever you prefer. And maybe Miller's there. Maybe Gurley's there, especially in 10-team league. Or Crowell, if you prefer that.
Well, I don't know that he has that pick, because maybe that pick is Davante Adams? No, that couldn't be. Okay, all right, I feel you. I feel you, Jamie. That's Quinn. Thank you, Quinn. This is from John Hooper from a city north of Seattle.
Vancouver, British Columbia.
What do you guys think about having wide receivers from the same team? I'm keeping Davante Adams, and I have the opportunity to draft Jordy Nelson. What are your thoughts?
It's funny we get this combo a lot, which is probably the worst combination because of what happened to Jordy and everybody else when Jordy got hurt. Now, granted, depending on when you drafted that year after Nelson tore his ACL, but as we've seen with Davante Adams when he was forced into that role and Randall Cobb, they were terrible when Jordy got hurt. So if they hit, you get what you got last year. If Jordy goes down for whatever reason, it's not the same passing attack.
I don't love it, though. Let's just say they both stay healthy. That's what you're drafting.
Wait, you don't love it? This is your whole thing.
No, it's not. It's not.
This is the friendship
strategy. No, you know it's not. It's not the same. I mean, this is a keeper, so it's a little bit different, but...
Well, no, not this scenario, but your whole... You won a fantasy league based on doing this last year.
Right, but what I'm saying is I don't love it when you're talking about, like, two of your first four picks being on the same team.
Sure.
That's
But
all.
Let's just say... I don't know where Emmanuel Sanders' average draft position is settling, but would you take Thomas in early round three and Sanders in round eight?
Yeah, that's enough separation. Yeah.
He's going around five.
Yeah, but the difference between that one and the Packer one is that the Packers have a great quarterback.
I know.
And I don't think they're going to morph into a run-heavy team. I don't mind this.
Like, if Davante Adams... Okay, so this is a little bit different than the question because he's keeping Adams. But, all right, fine. So he's keeping Adams. If Jordy Nelson is part of a tier with four other wide receivers, I'd probably prefer to take one of the other receivers in the tier.
But you could, I mean, you know, again, we're going back to your whole stupid strategy, but you can take Decker and Corey Davis. Like, that's a perfect scenario.
Yes.
One of those guys should be very good.
But that's not this question. But yeah.
No.
That's good Azer strategy for sure.
Right.
Decker and Davis.
You could take T.Y. Hilton and Moncrief, how far apart these guys are going at this point. You could take Willie Snead and Michael Thomas, how far apart those guys are going.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Do you take Moncrief and Hilton? They both sort of have their own role. If Hilton goes down, does Moncrief get a huge boost?
It's hard to say because, like you said, they have their own role. But if Moncrief has the year that he's potentially capable of having and T.Y. Hilton's still as great as he has been, then both those guys should potentially be top 24 receivers.
And obviously that's the right type of offense to do this with.
Right.
Not a great run game. Very good quarterback, assuming the shoulder's fine.
Yeah,
you play from behind a lot.
That's the thing, though. That shoulder, like, there's no way I could take both of them.
Well, but a week from now, he could be practicing, and then it's a non-issue.
T.Y. Hilton, we haven't seen it in our drafts yet. Nobody's shying away from him. Moncrief's an easy guy you could say you're going to get away from just because of his lack of production, mm-hmm. fair or unfair.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of, you know, how much you feel comfortable in Andrew Luck as we get closer to the season. But there are a lot of different scenarios just based on ADP right now. Like, Terrell Pryor and Jameson Crowder are two guys you could buy into this. I mean,
that's another good one. The Saints one is a good one as well.
Certainly the Cardinals, where Fitzgerald's going in the fifth, sixth round, depending on format, and obviously where John Brown is now. But even so, you could go back-to-back with those two guys. Landry and Devontae Parker, two guys you could do it with.
Yes, I like that. I will say that if we're just talking about what I originally talked about months ago, the Azer strategy, the friendship strategy, Pryor and Crowder would not fit that. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but it's probably too rich for my blood with two picks in the first six rounds. Now, if I get
the better
the eighth
thing
round,
to do would be to take one of those guys and Josh Doxon later
sure.
on.
Right. Right, that would be
that. I actually like that.
You could take, I mean, really, depending on how big your roster is, easily two of the three, but you could try and take all three of the main Ravens guys and just see which one comes out of it.
Right.
I think that offense can barely produce one good receiver.
But that would be the point, though, is you're trying to find the best one.
With right. three picks?
They're all after pick 100.
It would have to be a deep
if you were to load up
roster.
On running backs and take one good receiver in your first four, maybe a second
I see
guy.
Where you're
in
coming in from in I just don't want to dedicate seven. Three.
That's I'm not saying.
I don't want to buy three lottery tickets for one.
I'm not saying it's the right
max
way to approach it, but if you're talking about a 20-round draft where Perryman, based on ADP, is going as late as he is, why not?
Okay, guys, let's go to the next email here.
It's 103, 150, and 160 is their average draft position right now.
This is from Selfish John from the best borough in New York City. Selfish John from Manhattan, clearly. Dear Henry, Jimmy, Tommy, and Paulie. Goodfellas? I don't know. Look it up. I'm fortunate enough to play in a league in which none of the bozos listen to your show. Lucky me. And he's calling himself Selfish John because he will not be telling his friends about the show. Very selfish, John. I don't like it. Oh, here's his question. What do you think about slightly overvaluing running backs who aren't guaranteed starters? Granted, I'm almost positive I can grab their backup in a very late round due to the fact that they won't be on my league mates' radars. Like, I could draft Carlos Hyde and Joe Williams, Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams late, Frank Gore and Marlon Mack, Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine, and which backfield has the most promise if I do this?
I would say the Packers has the most promise.
Let's rank them. I know which one is last for me, and I know which one is first. Packers are first. Colts are last. And then
Niners are last.
No, I don't think so.
Just Dave. Actually, I feel like I like the Niners running backs better, but the Colts offense is so much better.
I'd go Packers, Colts, Washington, Niners.
Packers, Colts, Washington.
I'm gonna go Packers, Niners, Washington, Colts.
I'll go Packers, Washington, Colts, Niners.
So I do like this strategy. This is like. Yeah, I do like it. As long as you can get these guys late, then it's like, do you reach a little bit to lock up a backfield? Reach a little bit with an earlier pick on Hyde.
The problem is, like, he's saying that these guys aren't going to be on his friend's radar. They're probably going to show up to the draft of the magazine or something.
Well, the other thing is, though, and this includes Jamal Williams, but really outside of the Redskins, the backup guys may not be the guys that are going to be the most fantasy relevant. They're probably the most talented. Joe Williams is more talented than Tim Hightower, at least what you would assume. Hightower may get the most touches, though, as the second guy behind Hyde. Aaron Jones may get the most touches as the second guy in Green Bay. And Robert Turbin may get the most touches as the second guy in Indianapolis. So you may be wasting a pick if Marlon Mack come out doing what he's supposed to do. If Jamal Williams isn't the guy for Green Bay as the second one and Joe Williams as the guy in San Francisco.
And is the premise of this just to target that second guy? Like, why not just go after that guy and not care about the starter?
Well, that guy might be useless without the starter.
Yeah, I mean, it's you don't know that
he might be
well,
useless.
Like Heath alluded to it when talking about that you're excited about Ty Montgomery. Like you said, Jamal Williams may be a thing later in the season, which could easily be the case. I mean, you know, we may see Ty Montgomery still lead the Packers in touches every game for the season, but Jamal Williams comes in and gets 10 touches a game, and he's the one that's scoring touchdowns. You know, so it could be the that he's the better fantasy guy. Joe Williams may end up with more touches than Carlos Hyde. So. It's just however you want to approach it.
I don't think the premise is getting the second guy. The premise is getting both of them. But
the premise is getting
the
backfield. I think it's almost, and I've approached this a lot with our last few drafts, is not handcuffing my top guy, but trying to get two guys middle, like Dave did it with the 10-team league with the Redskins. Like, that's the perfect approach. Matthew Coca did it in the draft yesterday with the Chiefs. He got Kareem Hunt
Chiefs.
And
Redskins,
what's his
Bucks,
name? Where?
Ravens.
All right, guys, let's
Packers
move on.
Packers is the one you could do it
too. You could do it with the Packers.
Next email. Matt from Dave's favorite pizza place in Minnesota.
Never been.
Never been pizza. Dear Chase, Marshall, Ryder, and Tracker. Did anybody look up the last one, by the way? Come on, we got to step it up. All right, well, I'll look them up while you answer this question. I have a hypothesis that zero RB may be easier to implement if you are drafting in the middle of each round as opposed to near the turn What do you think about this? I really want to hear Adam say nips. So they're nips. He mentioned something about the nip strategy. But what do you think? Is zero RB easier if you're in the middle of your draft rather than the ends?
So you would go, let's say, AJ Green, 7, round 2, Cooper or Thomas. Round 3, you'd be looking at...
Could go Gronk in round 2 if you really wanted to do it.
Okay. Round 3, you're looking at Sammy Watkins.
Or Kelsey. Based on what we're saying, Watkins is...
No, what we're saying, but ADP is not.
Yeah. Watkins or Kelsey.
Okay.
Round 4, you could maybe get Brady or Rodgers.
Sure. Not ADP, though, but...
But just the premise of being in the middle compared to the ends, does that matter?
Everything is harder from the end. And it's much, much harder to have a specific positional strategy from the end because he's right. You don't know when a run's going to happen over those 20 picks. And just everything's decimated.
Yeah, I mean, it happened to me in that draft yesterday. I picked 12th. Like I said, I at the 9-10 turn, I had no quarterback, no tight end. I took Mariota at 9. I took Joe Williams at 10. I looked at the draft board. Everybody had there was one owner did not have tight end at the time. It was Delanie Walker, Martellus Bennett, Eric Ebron. Those are guys I have ranked 11, 12, 13. I figured, okay, I'll get one of them. Somebody took Walker round 10, round 11. You and the other schmuck took Bennett and Eric Ebron as your backup tight
end. That's me.
Who are you stuck with?
I took Julius Thomas at my last pick of the draft.
I don't really agree with this. I think you can do it. Yeah, maybe everything's harder, but rounds 5 and 6, like bam, bam, you should get some good running backs there. You could get Eddie Lacy and Dalvin Cook, Eddie Lacy, LeGarrette Blount. We actually might not be so good there.
Well, you just have to dedicate several picks to it. So we're talking, what, 60th overall? 65th overall?
Yeah.
Again, the numbers are Tevin Coleman, 65. Bilal Powell, 75. Adrian Peterson, 67. That's early. Amir Abdullah, 70. Gillislee, 72. Gore, 77. Blount, 64. It's doable.
Yeah, it's doable.
Lacy, 62. You just have to load up.
One more email. This is from Tom in a city in California.
Truckee.
No, it's Santa Monica. Come on, man. By the way, the last two greetings have been Goodfellas and Paw Patrol. You guys need to know Paw Patrol.
Who's Tracker?
I don't know.
I knew Chase Marshall and Ryder.
Oh, you should have spoken up.
Why did you say Paw Patrol?
Because Tracker threw me off.
Damn Tracker. Okay, the question is addressed to Manny, Moe, and Jack. Those are the Pep Boys. This is, other than having the same name, why is Jamie so high on Jamison Crowder? I get that Garcon and DeSean Jackson are gone, but Pryor is there, and despite Jamie saying Crowder has the best rapport with Cousins, the last 5 games of the year, Jamison Crowder caught 3, 2, 4, 1, and 2 passes and never finished with more than 42 yards. Is that season-ending trend concerning for Jamison Crowder or Jamison Eisenberg?
It certainly can be, but you're still talking about Garcon and DeSean Jackson. Now, the concern would be is that Josh Doctson takes that huge sophomore leap. Terrell Pryor is the guy that we expect him to be. Jordan Reed is still playing in weeks. What is that? So that's week 14? 14, 15, 16, 17? Jordan Reed's still playing in week 14. And Kirk Cousins just decides, I don't like Jamison Crowder anymore. So I think when you're talking about guys that and throw out a number here, but you know, once we get past receiver 10, receiver 11, I mean, even Doug Baldwin, you know, for example, they go through slumps. And this is a guy that the reason I like him is because I still buy into the third year receiver theory. He's entering his third year. He's shown you steps over his first two seasons. And one thing that every receiver that I talk to about, because I talk to about him all the time, is what is it about the third year? And one thing they always say is rapport with quarterback. And so Crowder has it through 3 seasons with Cousins. Cooper has it through 3 seasons with Carr. You hope that Parker has it through the majority of 3 seasons, entering 3 seasons with Tannehill, you know, and so Crowder's just at that point where the stats should take another leap, and that's what I'm banking on with a team that lost its top 2 receivers.
We're not talking about a galactic leap here, right?
No, if that was the case, he'd be in my top 10. I'm expecting him to go from 98 targets to in the 120 range because of who's missing. I'm expecting his catches to go up probably 20. I'm expecting his yards to go up somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 to 300 yards, and his touchdowns to remain about the same. Because I think he overexceeded his touchdown potential a year ago. So I don't think he's going to be 100, 1,500, and 15. But I think he's going to be 85, 1,100, and 6. and that puts him in the range of 20 to 25.
I like him, but I don't like him. I don't think he can get that high. I think he can get close to 1,000 yards. I think he could add another touchdown because he scored. He was a red zone threat. He was a deep ball threat. And this is a team that's going to pass a lot. And you talked about rapport with the quarterback. This is Pryor's first year in Washington. This might as well be Doxson's first year in Washington.
Sure.
Jamison Crowder's been there 3 years. I think that matters. And I think the fact that he's going to play more, which Gruden has talked about, we've talked about it, I think that's going to matter too. And best of all, or maybe not best of all, but worth noting, this is not a big guy. He's small, and he can still make very, very impressive catches in tight coverage. He is a good receiver.
All right, that's Jamison Crowder we're talking about, and we leave you with Heath's crazy tweet. Oh, boy. You should lose your verification, I think, on Twitter for this.
You're going to take it away from me.
Official list of the most overrated things on TV.
And I think it's kind of fun that I put official because I don't really get to choose that.
Yeah.
But I do have a verified account, so maybe I do.
There you go. Number one, Muppets. Number two, Simpsons. I should stop there, but number three, Game of Thrones. Number four, King of the Hill. And number five, Dinosaurs, which was just silly. Nobody thinks Dinosaurs is good.
You think Dinosaurs was good.
No, I liked it when I was a kid. I liked it when I was a kid. I don't think it's good.
You love the Not the Mama thing.
I did love Not the Mama.
One of the most annoying things that's ever been on TV.
Is that why
your dad doesn't speak to you? Because you would walk around the house at the time saying Not the Mama?
That's what I called him. I called him Not the Mama, yeah. My dad speaks to me, by the way. That was weird and not true. My dad actually called me yesterday and had my 6-year-old nephew yell at me about Spotify. Anyway, that's a story for another time. It was funny.
Adam.
Yes.
Breaking news.
David Price is on the DL.
This is a trade in the National Football League.
Really?
The Seahawks
to the Ravens
are trading Kevin Pierre-Lewis to Kansas City for DJ Alexander.
Okay. So Muppets.
You wanted IDP talk. There it is.
Muppets, Simpsons, Game of Thrones, King of the Hill, and Dinosaurs. The most egregious one on there is The Simpsons. Like, ridiculous. The Simpsons is the, at worst, the second best comedy of all time. Behind Seinfeld.
That's why I didn't say The Simpsons are bad. I'm just saying you just said that at worst, it's the second best comedy of all time.
True.
By the very definition, it's overrated.
No, that is accurate rating. That might be underrating it. 90 Simpsons is as good as TV gets.
Overrated.
And then Game of Thrones, I will say this, Jamie's probably going to disagree. Last week's Game of Thrones sucked. Oh, what a terrible episode.
Why did it suck?
It was so boring. Daenerys is the worst. Ugh.
I will admit I've only watched one episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, get out.
I felt the same way about that episode that I watched that you felt about last week's episode.
I know. I thought about you as I was feeling the boredom. So this is the last thing I'm going to say. Anybody else can weigh in on this terrible list. Heath, you have an opportunity to do something that I wish I had. You have an opportunity to binge watch Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, if not for the fact that they tease you with an amazing storyline and don't come back to it for 5 weeks, would maybe be like my favorite show ever. But that drives me crazy, so it's hard to watch week by week by week. Binge watching Game of Thrones is the most amazing thing. I was able to do that for 2 seasons. You have the opportunity to do that. Please give it another chance. You will love Game of Thrones.
What episode should I watch?
Episode one. Season
one. The very first episode.
It's a great show.
If you really want to get excited about it, though, like to get just excited and see what, like, high of the high,
yes.
Watch Battle of the Bastards.
Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah, you can watch Battle of the Bastards. Or you can watch The Battle at the Wall. That's my favorite episode.
Okay.
Maybe I'll try to do that. Yeah. No, don't do that. Like, you don't want to watch. That's going to spoil everything in Game of Thrones. Watch episode one.
I just don't think the genre is really my type of thing.
I don't like dragons. I don't like fantasy. I don't like sci-fi. I promise this is a great show. You will love
it. And you don't like football until August 1st.
Yeah. I don't like football until August 1st. I love all you guys, though, and all of our listeners. Thank you for tuning in. PodcastAwards.com. We've been talking about it. Please make it happen. Have a great weekend. We're back on Monday. See you later.
Muppets suck.
Bye.